Hello, and welcome to the May 2019 InfoTech Threat Landscape Briefing. My name is Ian Mulholland, and I am a research analyst in our Security and Threat Intelligence practice. I will be facilitating today's briefing. During today's discussion, we will cover topics related to cybersecurity, threat actor campaigns, regulatory compliance and legal issues, and threat actor exploits and tactics. Our cybersecurity section covers high-level topics such as threat trends, data breaches, control strategies, and exposure to vulnerabilities that act to broaden your understanding of cybersecurity's impact on your business. Our threat actor campaign section covers topics related to nation-states, cybercriminals, and hacktivists orchestrating campaigns designed to compromise networks and exfiltrate sensitive data. Our regulatory compliance and legal section covers trends in global regulatory and legal landscape with the potential to impact compliance adherences to disrupt business operations. And lastly, our exploitation and tactics section provides information related to the tools, tactics, and exploits threat actors are leveraging in their attack campaigns. Today's briefing will be supported by myself and research specialists Logan Rohde, Michelle Tran, and Mark Mazur. During today's briefing, we will cover the following topics. Consider alternative approaches to stopping attack code at the perimeter. New Toyota data breach exposes personal information of 3.1 million customers. United States, Washington State pushes forward with comprehensive privacy legislation, and APTs return as cybercrime groups learn from cyber espionage. Let's begin. The cybersecurity landscape is always changing, a fact known to all at this point. This change is a two-way battle between those wishing to commit crime and those trying to defend themselves against it. Hackers are becoming more sophisticated in their attacks, largely due to more advanced hardware and software available on the market at lower prices. Consequently, organizations and vendors are trying to keep up by implementing more sophisticated defenses. Unfortunately, according to Dan Turner, the CEO of DeepSpace, via an article on the IT Pro Portal website, defending organizations are not able to keep up with those wishing them harm. Hackers are able to advance their methods faster than organizations are able to acquire new technology to defend against it. This reality leads to two paths. Either organizations can accept that they will eventually be hacked and do their best to reduce frequency and potential impact using today's security technologies and processes, or they can adopt a different approach to security, one that prevents attack code from ever entering the organization in the first place. It is important to point out that this second option is not a silver bullet. It does not guarantee that an organization will not be successfully breached. Preventing attack code from entering the organization will force hackers to choose other methods of attacks, ones that have a higher proven track record of being detected and stopped. Let's explore these two options a little more closely. The first, which is to put current detection technology in place and wait for an attack to be detected before remedial actions are put into play, allows the organization to stop most attacks that enter the organization. However, since detection technologies primarily operate by comparing code to evidence left behind by previously detected malware, some malware will be able to slip through undetected, and therein lies the biggest issue with this method. It relies on the technology being smarter than the hackers targeting it, and, as said earlier, this has not been shown to be the case 100% of the time. What if instead the zero trust model was followed religiously and all content entering a network was stopped and marked as untrusted? What if software could then take the expected information from that content and build a new copy of it inside the network, discarding the old content once it is done? This transformation would leave behind any and all hidden attack code within the content and prevent it from entering the organization 100% of the time. Such a method forces hackers out of the shadows and into the light, where technologies in place today have already been shown to be effective. Again, this is not a silver bullet. There are still many areas today where hackers are seeing great success, even out in the open. Phishing is a prime example, an important reminder that the conversation about security must go beyond technology to the people and processes of the organization as well.
Toyota Motor Corporation has fallen victim to data breaches in the last 6 months in Australia, Thailand, and Vietnam, with Japan being the most recently hit, impacting 3.1 million customers across 8 Toyota sales subsidiaries or affiliates, including independent Toyota and Lexus car dealerships located in Tokyo. According to Toyota's breach notification, threat actors are believed to have potentially accessed customer information involving names, birthdates, and employment information. At the present time, there's no evidence that the credit card information or if customer information was exfiltrated. In light of the recent breach, Toyota will continue to conduct detailed surveys, placing top priority on customer safety and security. I commend Toyota in taking steps of notifying customers of the breach. In being transparent and timely with their press release, it demonstrates that customer loyalty and security is of the utmost importance to them. While little is known as to what the root cause of the breach was, common controls that can be reviewed to enhance your security posture is to consider MFA and employee training and awareness, particularly around password hygiene and how to identify a malicious email. Additionally, after severe breaches have occurred, conducting a lessons learned meeting to discuss how your organization handled the incident can further optimize similar incidents if they occur again. Recommendations should be offered in these meetings and enforced for timely and efficient procedures in the future.
Data privacy seems to be one of the key issues for modern society. We want to use the latest apps to boost efficiency and keep up with the technological revolution that shows no signs of slowing down. But we also want a reasonable amount of personal privacy while using them. However, this latter desire seems to be increasingly at odds with the big tech business model. As such, we're seeing an increase in efforts to legally mandate what that reasonable amount of personal privacy actually is, particularly around consent for data collection and the right to have collected data erased upon request. Washington State sought to place itself alongside California by implementing a data privacy law based on the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation. Initially, the bill was well supported and even passed unanimously in the Senate, but when it was debated in the House, the bill stalled over concerns about the influence tech companies exerted in drafting the final version of the bill. The reason for this is that although the original was quite GDPR-esque, with some language being taken directly from the EU regulation, the final version is said to have been too heavily influenced by big tech companies in the area, namely Microsoft, Comcast, and Amazon, who chipped away at many of the bill's protections. Some say this effort was done so extensively that these companies would have had to do little to nothing about their current data collection practices. Microsoft in particular is said to have had significant influence in this respect. According to Politico, Ryan Harkins, a senior public policy director at Microsoft, wrote notes in the margins of the draft bill, often chiding lawmakers for their legislative approach and deleting sections of the bill he viewed as unsatisfactory. However, all tech firms involved deny they had any undue say over Washington State's privacy push. Nevertheless, opposition to the bill increased and did not go to a vote before the House session ended at the end of April. The bill is not dead and is expected to be returned to in 2020. We'll have to wait until then to see which way Washington leans on the issue of data privacy.
Advanced persistent threat techniques, otherwise known as APT, are on the rise as more cybercrime groups use APTs that have historically been associated with cyber espionage. This means cybercrime groups now use APTs to carry out attacks against non-state actors. New, more sophisticated cybercrime groups have thus emerged, and this now requires organizations to reevaluate their security posture, as these more advanced techniques may bypass security measures that are currently in place to deal with traditional malware. What was once the most sophisticated antivirus defense could now prove to be ineffective against these more advanced persistent threats. The term APT is used to describe attacks where hackers have compromised a system with custom tools that are harder to detect, and which allow cybercrime groups to move laterally through systems for longer periods of time, undetected by less robust security programs. Using stealth and manual hacking, as opposed to traditional malware, these techniques resemble those used by cyber espionage so that cybercriminals can steal as many secrets as possible to either carry out a financial attack or steal data that could then be monetized or held for ransom. While the techniques may be sophisticated, financial gain remains the main motivation behind these attacks. So, why is the landscape changing? Cybercrime groups have evolved to respond to current security measures and have learned new techniques from state actors, either directly or indirectly. As APTs have become more widely available over the internet, cybercrime groups have taken advantage and integrated these into their strategies. Many will remember when the Shadow Brokers group leaked the Eternal Blue exploit, which is believed to have been developed by the NSA, and both state and cybercriminal groups have integrated similar techniques as well as this one into their tactics, and this is only one example among many. Some APT techniques that companies should be aware of include the following. 1. PowerShell abuse. a utility that is on Windows systems by default, PowerShell automates system administration tasks that are necessary, if not fundamental, for most companies to run their business and processes. This tactic is called living off the land because it injects payloads that run within common endpoint activity, as well as software tools, protocols, and applications to hide and conduct attacks while making these look like normal endpoint activity. Furthermore, PowerShell remains a persistent threat to systems because it reinfects the system after reboot, making it even more difficult to contain. 2. Fileless attacks. Similar to PowerShell attacks, these inject malicious code into the memory of legitimate processes using techniques such as thread injection, APC, atom bombing, process hollowing, local shellcode injection, or reflective loading. And finally, 3. Open source tools. Usually these are used for legitimate purposes, like penetration testing, but they are also being used for illegitimate purposes such as credential dumping and file wiping. What's more, because these utilities are so freely available, both state and cybercrime groups use these techniques, which further blurs the line between these actors. According to the Ponemon Institute's research report on the value of threat intelligence, 69% of respondents found that threat intel continues to be too voluminous and complex to provide actionable insights. But one of the biggest obstacles organizations face is a lack of staff expertise, making threat intel often ineffective, which further prevents organizations from developing or even optimizing a threat intelligence platform. We recommend that your organization review Cyber News Daily from reputable sources to look for any potential impact these threats may have on your organization. Make sure that your security product vendors are also automatically ingesting threat intel into the tools you have purchased, or if you have a managed security service provider, push to have regular threat intelligence updates. If you are struggling to establish a mature threat intelligence program, set up a call with one of our analysts today to talk about our research on threat intel so that we can help your organization develop, formalize, and optimize a threat intelligence program for your unique threat landscape.
This concludes our monthly threat briefing. If you have any questions or need any support, please do not hesitate to contact us and set up an analyst call. Thank you.